You're listening to a podcast from Victory. What does it mean to fish for people? Find out more about evangelism in week two of our anniversary series, Radical.
All right, today we're talking about, we are celebrating 30 years of faithfulness, and there's certain keywords that in the last 30 years we've been hearing and emphasizing part of our core values as a ministry. And one of them was what we talked about last week, which was Jesus period. They talked about the lordship of Jesus Christ, that if Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, then he's in charge, that everything about your life should be submitted to him. And it's not a bad thing to submit your life to Jesus. And we're finding that having him as Lord, that's where the blessings come in, and that's where we experience the peace that we all want anyway. Okay, today we're going to be talking about 99 and the one. Okay, and that's part of our core values. We've been hearing this for the past 30 years about the importance of lost people, and that's part of our core values of evangelism, of us reaching out to the lost people of the world and people who need Jesus Christ. And if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you're considered as a lost person, okay? Not that you parang nawala ka lang, but it's something about relationship with Christ that we'll see in the text that we'll be looking at, about how a relationship with him is him finding you and you responding to him. And so that's the exciting part. One of the things that I've truly liked about this ministry and joining it the last 14 years is our emphasis of reaching the lost people and reaching people who are in need of Jesus. Yun lang naman yung lost eh. If you need Jesus in your life, then you're considered lost. And not in a bad way, but in a sense, you're lost in terms of your relationship with God. And so that's something that we want to be able to restore and help you restore that. And one of the things that we always emphasize in this church is as long as there's one lost person outside, our church is not big enough. Okay, and one of the things with Pastor Steve would always say, and also he wrote in his book, is that as it is sometimes said, the church is an organization that exists for its non-members. Okay, that's what I like about this, that it's not, we're just not content of having a group of fellowship and a spiritual family. Spiritual family is great. I love my spiritual family. I love that you're joining me here in this church. But more than that, it's more people that are out there that need Jesus Christ. And actually, when we're part of a family, that's why we exist. We exist to be able to reach them. And so that's an emphasis that's been shared the last 30 years. And just looking at that video earlier, it's just a celebration of the last 30 years. It's just amazing how none of them probably would think that this would happen today. Okay, none of them went here from that group being in tandem cinema theater in the basement of that, worshiping God, but none of them would think that it would result to this. But it was the same emphasis of reaching people, about evangelizing and reaching those who are in need of Jesus. And it's the same message that was being preached then, as a radical message then, continues to be a radical message now. And there's Pastor Steve, kanina nakita nyo, wala siyang buhok. Okay, dati hindi naman laging ganyan. There was a time when he had a full head of hair, okay? And so all these things have happened in the last 30 years, and it's exciting and a celebration. And it's all back to reaching families, reaching young people, reaching the next generation. And there's Pastor Steve teaching some of the kids. And just looking at the picture here, parang hindi mo sila ma-recognize, but a lot of them now are actually adults who are married, and some of them have children. And I'm, when I look at this, it's just a vision for me and what God is going to do with my own family, about my own children growing up and serving God, and what God's going to do in each and every one of your lives as you continue to submit to him and continue to reach out. Because the same message back then, it will be the same message that this church will be involved in. You picture natin last week. Yay. Okay. But that's I see all those people, and I'm praying for you. I continue to pray for you that God will really launch you in God's purpose in your life, and for us to be able to bring more lost people here in the church, and to be able to see God's goodness happen and change will happen in each and every one of our lives. And so that's the exciting part of this. The 99 and 1 is a parable that Jesus shared, and it's focused on evangelism. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. And I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 15. And in reverence to the reading of God's word, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. If you didn't bring your Bible, you can go ahead and read along with me on the screen behind me. Or my recommendation is for you to have your own Bible and bring it on Sunday. So you can read it, underline it, meditate on it, and grow in God in it. Okay? We're going to start in verse 1, verse 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people, persons who need no repentance." Join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you will open up our hearts and our minds to be able to receive from you today. I pray, Lord, that we will be able to understand the great sacrifice that you've made for us. But not only that, but our role of being bearers of good news, that you will use us, Lord, to bring more people into your kingdom. Not that the pressure is on us. It's about you and them responding to you. But thank you, Lord. We have a privilege of sharing that with people that need it. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint your preaching of your word this morning, not from my own ideas, but only what your spirit wants me to say will come out of my lips. We thank you, Lord, once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Go ahead and have your seat. In looking at this parable that we're reading, Jesus has been teaching the crowds, and now he's sharing different parables. And when he's sharing this parable, a parable is simply a story, okay, that reveals one lesson. Say one lesson. Okay? Meron lang siyang isang point. When you're reading a parable in the Bible, okay, just look for that one point that Jesus is trying to emphasize. And there's preachers sometimes make a mistake. They go through the parable and put different meanings to all the different things of parts of the parable, but actually wala namang meaning yun eh. Okay, there's just one lesson that he's trying to emphasize, and what Jesus is trying to emphasize here is his heart and concern for lost things. Okay? And when you read Luke chapter 15, that's actually three different parables that Jesus is talking about having the same theme. Meron siyang theme na sinusundan. It's about the three things that we see here in the three stories is something valuable was lost. Okay, the first story is the sheep that was lost. The second story was a lost coin by a woman. And the third one was a father who had a son that was lost to him. Okay, so tatlong lost people or three lost things that were valuable. And in the three stories, there's also an all-out search for something that was lost. Baka sabihin mo dun sa parable of the prodigal son, wala naman talagang search yung dad. The dad didn't really go out and search for him. But remember, he was looking out into the distance. So he was actually searching for his son to come back at one moment. And when that actually happened, he ran to him. So there was an all-out search. And the third thing was, there was a great celebration when what was lost was found. And so that's the theme in all of those things. But in all of those stories, it just reveals the heart of God for the lost. Yun yung importante sa kanya. Gusto niyang malaman, he wants us to understand that he's actually searching for us. That he wants us to be with us. He wants us to have a relationship with him. And that's what he's trying to do in these stories. And we're going to look at it and say, why is this important to me? Okay? Why I'm a shy person. How am I going to evangelize? What we're going to see here is that we want you to be able to develop that heart that no matter what your personality is, if you're a shy guy or the life of the party, that this is important to us because it's important to him. It's important to Jesus. And so it's something that we have to be able to step into and participate in. And evangelism sometimes is such a long, intimidating word. But all of us can be part of that. If we're able to invite people and tell people about the movie that you just saw, or the restaurant that you just, a certain dish that you love and you want to share it with other people, that's what evangelism is. Sharing good news, sharing something that you feel so strongly about that you want them to experience it. And as Christians, as people of God, that's something that we've experienced great things from God. Tama? That's all we're sharing. If we can share about movies, share about meals, we can certainly share about a great God that loves us and cares for us. And so we can all participate in this. This is not a scary thing. And so we're going to look at this thing. We're going to look at this story once again. And based on that, my prayer is we will all be activated. Not only are in our relationship with Him, but we'll be activated in terms of reaching people that need Jesus. And we all need Jesus. Are you ready? Okay. Salamat sa sampu. Ready na. Okay. We're going to look at the story. And before the parable, we're going to look at what actually happened in sharing, and before Jesus shared the parable. And we go back at verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Okay. The situation now is that it's so interesting that as Jesus has been sharing all these different stories, now they find the Pharisees and all the people that were writers of the law, the scribes, find Jesus ministering to lost people, ministering to those who are sinful. And galit na galit sila, they were grumbling. Why is Jesus doing that? Why is he there? That's not socially acceptable. He's there with sinners. He's there partying with them and drinking with them and eating with them. That shouldn't be. If he's claiming to be God and if he's claiming to be holy, that doesn't match. It shouldn't be. And when we look at that story, parang grabe, sobra naman tong mga Pharisees na to. Okay? But when I was reading this, I saw it in a different angle. I saw it in looking at it and saying, what was so different about Jesus that sinners would actually want to be with him? Hindi nyo ba naisip yun? Ako lang, nung nakita ko yun, parang, wow, Jesus is so amazing that instead, because me, when I sin, anyone else sins? Okay. Ako lang. Lahat kayo holy. When I sin, what my first tendency is to get away from Jesus. I want to get away from the Holy One. I'm not worthy. I can't be with Him. I don't know about you, but that's, at least for me, when I do something wrong, I feel, oh, wow, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Yes, we're not worthy. And yet, all these sinners were drawn to Him. What drew these sinners to Him? Was it His good looks? The Bible says that Jesus was anything spectacular. He was just like a regular person. But I believe that people were drawn to him because of his attitude. That in spite of their sins, he loved them. That they didn't feel condemned in front of them. That they didn't feel, you know, that they were unforgiven. They felt that they could approach him. Now, when you compare that to the Pharisees, the ones that were complaining, have you ever met someone who was the super intelligent know-it-all? Okay? Yung alam nila lahat ng sagot. Parang pag hindi mo alam, parang, ha? Simple lang yan. Apa, bobo mo. Okay? Meron kayong kilalang ganun? Who would you rather be? Wala kayong kilala? Andiyan si Pastor lang. Hindi, wala. We don't want to be around those people, right? I don't want to be around them. I can think of some people I don't want to be around. And yet, Jesus wasn't like that. He was accused of being friend of the sinners. I'm going to ask you, what are we like? What are we like when we were around people? Are we someone that people can approach? Are we someone that people would love to spend time with? Oh, come on, lunch tayo. Oh, sige. Or yung lunch tayo, let me check my schedule. Halika, sama ka sa akin. Busy hata ako eh. Lunch. Busy ako lunch. Dinner. Busy ako breakfast. Busy ako. Ayoko ikaw na makasama eh. Diba? Ganun ba tayo? Like a Pharisee? Or are we like Jesus and say, come on. I know what you've done. I know what you've been through. I know what you're going through. And yet, come here. You know what? The kingdom of God is near. And that was the message of Jesus. You can repent. When a woman was there that was sinful, he was saying, your accusers have left, but don't sin anymore. When he saw a woman in the well, he was saying, I know the husband that you're with is not even your husband. You have had 5 husbands. People were drawn to him. Now, would people be drawn to us with Jesus in your life and Jesus continuing to change you and mold you? And as we continue to submit to him, people will be drawn to you. When the time comes that a problem would happen, yeah, sure, they'll make fun of you at work or make fun of you at school. Oh, Christian, born again, born against. Okay? But when they have a problem, who will they go to? They'll go to you. Yeah, can you pray? Can you, pare, prayan mo naman ako. They will. Because there's something in you who is Christ Jesus that will draw them to you. It's not about you. It's about Jesus living in and through you. And that's what we want. Can we be accused of being friends of sinners? Now, I'm not saying that you continue to do whatever the sinful things. Okay? I'm not saying that. We can actually be in a situation where there's all sin going around us with us not being part of it. We don't have to. You know how I know that? Because Jesus did it. He was with all the sinners, ministering to them, spending time with them, but it never hit him. It's just like a tuna. Parang tuna fish. Okay? Alam niya naman yung tuna fish, no? Okay. Saan kinukuha ang tuna fish? Saan siya nabubuhay all of their lives? Saratic question. Dagat, okay? In the sea. Okay? Ano ang lasa ng dagat? Maalat, tama? It's salty. And they live their whole life. Fish live in the salty water their whole lives. Right? But once you remove it from the ocean, and you cut up that tuna into nice slices of sashimi, okay, just preparing you for lunch, okay? What do you need to do before you eat it? Konting wasabi and soy sauce, okay? Just mix it up a little bit, okay? I'm getting hungry. Okay, let's pray. And you dip it in the salt. Tama, para magkaroon ng lasa. Eh, galing siya sa salty eh. Paano nangyari yun? Diba? Because they live their whole lives, but the salt never penetrates them. So we can live and go somewhere where there's sin and not actually live it and not participate in it. I remember this one story we were sharing this week about different stories of people sharing their faith and people coming into the Lord. And one story was what I heard from Pastor Rico. Pastor Rico was assigned to our Nashville church for a season a number of years back. Pastor Rico is one of our pastors in Victory Ortigas. And he went there and he was meeting with a friend from someone from church. Okay? Unbeliever. Someone that doesn't submitted his life to Christ. There's someone smiling in the back. It's his brother. Okay? But he goes there and says, you know, he didn't say he was a pastor. He just made a friend. Hey, I'm new here in town. Can we go out and meet up? Oh, yeah, sure. And just like the whole family is very open and hospitable. Okay, let's go. Come with me. Okay, so they went to a bar. And just like, you know, the generous people that the whole family's part of, here, have a drink. Let's party. Okay, sabi niya, no, I'm okay with my iced tea. I'm okay with Maisie. So they party, they spent time, got to know each other, and said, "What? There's a concert coming up. You want to come to a concert? Earth, Wind, and Fire." And all the young people say, "Huh? Okay." So they went to the concert. Same thing. Party. But he was, "I'm okay with my IC. Let's spend time. We're friends." And so the guy that he was inviting, or the guy that he was making friends with, there's something different about this guy. He was still fun. He was still nice to talk to. And so at one moment, challenged niya. Sabi niya, "You know what? I'm you've been so nice to me. You've been bringing me all over, entertaining me, and sharing your friends and everything. You know, it's my turn. I'm going to invite you. I'm going to invite you to this special seat that I reserved especially for you. It's in church." And so this guy comes, goes to church. Sumunod lang siya. He sat on the second row behind the preachers. And when the preacher shared the word, nagtataka siya, "Bakit ang sasaya nitong mga taong to? Why are they lifting up their hands, dancing, worshiping, singing? Why are they all doing that? And then, this is nice. I like this." And so when the opportunity came for them to be able to share the gospel to this guy, he said, "Yeah, sure. It's nice. It's not what I thought. It's a relationship. It's not what I've done. It's not what I do. It's what Christ has done for me." And that same guy is now one of our pastors in the Fort Bonifacio Church. The brother of Jun Kamkam. Amazing. And it's just friends. We have people like that here in this church. We have many people like that in this church that would share their lives, share the goodness of God in their lives. One of them being Chinky Tan, who's going to be preaching this afternoon. I'm glad he's not a pastor. Because if he's a pastor, mawawalan ako ng trabaho, okay? But he does the same things that what a pastor should be doing. He shares his life. He shares the goodness of God in his life. And one of the testimonies that he's just going out there. Wherever people are, he's going to share the goodness of God. And one of the men that he shared with 2 years ago invited them into church. Okay? They come to church and say, "Wow, this is good. This is nice." You hear him in the radio and said, "Wow, this is good. I have to share this to my family." So not only did he get saved, his wife gets saved radically, his children get saved, his mom, his parents get saved, both sides of the parents get saved. For years, sharing love notes, sharing relationship, how to fix relationships. But once he found Jesus, there was something much more than what he was able to share. That's Joe DeMango. And a year ago, he moved to Australia with his whole family. And not only did he start inviting people here, but now he's inviting people in Canberra, Australia. And some weekends and some Sundays, there's over 100 people in his house sharing the same thing that we're sharing today. Sharing the goodness of Christ. Pastor Dennis is actually going there sometime in October so that they could have a victory weekend. So that these people can experience more of what Christ wants for them. That's people going out, just being a friend. Are we being a friend of sinners? Can we be accused of that? And so the same thing, these examples that we're sharing, is the same thing that Paul was living out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, "To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." And Chinky Tan has certainly shared in the blessings that God has poured out with him, reaching out more and more and more people. God can do the same thing with you. But are we available for him to use us? That's the question. For us to be able to be used by God, there has to be something that's changed in our heart, in our view of what we're doing. And we can see it here as the parable begins. Okay? Ito na yung parable. So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? The amazing part of this story is that this is something that the whole crowd could understand. This is a story that, oh, sheep, okay, yeah. Oh, nawala ng sheep. Oh, yeah, that happened. You know, my brother, ganun na nangyari sa kanya. Nawala yung kanyang tupa. Okay? And he went after it. And so I can see when Jesus was asking, which man of you, okay, would not run after that lost sheep? And I see the crowd going, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, so he's sharing this thing, and it just shows the heart of God for the lost. Na ahabulin niya yung tao na nawawala. It was an intentional search. And you know what? The encouraging part in this, when I'm reading this, said, when do we stop? I know there's people that we've been praying for. I have people that I've been praying for that I'm continuing to pray for. When do we stop making an effort and reaching people? When are we going to stop? Sa mo masadali makita. Dito na lang. Uy, kasha ako. Until he finds it. We're not going to stop until we find them. That's how valuable lost people are to God. We're not going to stop. We shouldn't stop. God did not give up on us. And he's not going to give up on us now. He will continue. I'm going to keep bugging you. If you've been coming here and you're not responding to God, you're going to hear the same message every week. We're going to share about the goodness of God. No matter what the text is, no matter what we're going through, we're always going to share about the goodness of God in our lives. And we want you to experience the same thing. And you can come here every week hearing the same message and not let it penetrate your heart. You can come here every week. You can go do the church thing. You can come. You can go to a victory group. But it has to touch you. And that's what Jesus did. He came here on earth so that he could relate to us, so that we can respond to him. And not just something that, oh wow, it sounds good. I like the worship. I like the seat. It's comfortable. And then it's nice going to Green Hills. You can go shopping or eat some afterwards. No. We want you to hear the gospel. We want you to respond to it. We want you to submit to him. And when we do that, that's where the message changes. That's where our life will be changed. That's why the people from 30 years ago were impacted, and that's why we're here today. You know why I know that sometimes we're here and nothing changes? Because I hear some of the stories. I hear some of the things that people are still going through. Because somehow they didn't let the gospel, the good news, the love of Christ penetrate their hearts. They didn't understand the lordship. They're still doing about things about their own way. But God is not giving up. I'm not giving up. God will continue to love you. I continue to love you. As we develop a heart for the lost, that's what we need. Jesus came in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He made an effort to come here. Okay? It's important for us, even though it was socially unacceptable for him to be with sinners, he still did it because he came to save them and he sought after them. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 33, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, showing the compassion of Christ to lost people because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They were harassed and helpless. A lot of us, we go through all the different problems. Sabi nga ni Francis kanina, si Bill, laging nandon. Si Bill. Tsaka si Judith. Kilala niyo si Judith? Yung bill, merong due date yun eh, di ba? La. Okay. Salamat, salamat. Lumusot din. We have to keep looking for this, for the lost. And they're here. Nasaan ba sila? They could be here. They could be right next to you. Siya, tama, mister ko. It could be you. Sitting in your chair. You know how I know this? We could all be here. Because I know of a young girl, 10 years old, went to church, grew up in church, mom was bringing them to church, and they would hear the message, but it never affected her. 15 years old, they came to Victory because the mom had a vision of reaching young people and making sure that they were part of a church that was focusing on young people. And sabi niya, ilalagay ko yung mga anak ko. So all their kids, teenagers, came to Victory. Okay, and they grew up here. No change. Hearing every week, no change. And then finally, when she was 20 years old, she had dengue and she was there in the hospital and somehow, wala siyang bantay. She was there by herself. And her brother came and visited her and shared essentially the gospel. I know you've been coming to church. I know you've been hearing this message. You know the message. You might be able to share the message even. But has Jesus really penetrated your heart? You have to make that decision now. You have to make that decision. And there was a challenge from her brother. And when the brother left, she made that decision. She made that decision that would change the course of her life. That the blessings of God started happening in her life. Moments of doubt and problems, but she continued on serving God. And the complete blessing of it is the story of my wife. The blessing of me being her husband. That was my wife. She said she was here hearing all these radical messages, but it never penetrated her heart. Sabi niya, grabe, I know. I know that you could be here and not let it affect you. So yeah, that's why I'm going to do what I can to reach the lost. And I'm going to do what support you and what you're doing so that you can reach the lost. And so the lost people are all around us. It's just a matter of us opening up our eyes. If it's us, then we respond to Him. If it's people that you love and care for or people around us, then we make an effort in reaching them. Let me share this video to you. It shares about a testimony of where lost people are.
Trabaho ko dahil araw-araw ako. Tapos na lagi sa oras, sabi nga sa amin eh, naghahabol ng biyahe. Doon na lang ako sa ano, natutulog. Mga gasolina na lang nagpapahinga. May approach sa akin na in-invite akong mag-Bible study. Eh, dahil nandoon naman din ako, inano ko, pinagbigyan. Doon yung nag-usap talaga siya sa akin. Yung parang yung sipag ko pala, wala lang yun. Kumbaga kinukwenta ko yung mga nakukuha ko. Wala palang halaga yun. Kahit isa doon, yung kaluluwa ko man lang, hindi ko man lang maisalba. Ngayon, dito ko na nilalaan yung kalahating araw ko bilang pasasalamat sa Panginoon. Dati mayayain ako, excited na akong i-invite yung mga napapalapit sa akin na taxi driver din. Ito, pag nakikita ko yung mga na-invite ko, na nandito na sila, nag-a-attend, mas masarap ang pakiramdam ko kaysa yung makakamit ako ng mga materyales na mabibili ko dahil sa pagbibiyahe ko. Sa maliit na paraan, ayun sa palagay ko, yun, dahil yun ang kaya ko, yun ang magpapatunay na masasabi ko talaga na basta driver, Jesus lover.
I had a great great privilege of visiting the Fort Bonifacio on a Saturday morning. And it was amazing, a room full of taxi drivers. Not just them, but their families and their children being there, hearing the Word of God, responding to the Word of God. And this is because of someone having the heart of Jesus, of reaching the lost, having their eyes open na, taxi driver pala pwede. Okay? And this is the message that's been shared, students pala pwede. Bata pala pwede, miski nasa U-Belt, mga probinsyano pwede. And it was that same message that they shared back then. And it was these things that they were doing 30 years ago, doing mime. Okay, I'm glad we don't do this anymore. Can you? Okay, outdoor preaching. They just go in a corner and just start preaching to the crowd. I'm glad we don't do that anymore also. Or maybe we should. Maybe you should. It's just whatever we're going to do to be able to reach the lost, whatever we need to do to find that lost person, to find that lost sheep. And you know that man, that man is the same man that continues to preach the gospel today. Ministers to the taxi drivers, and there's a ministry also in with the seniors, senior citizens that he has a ministry with. Just reaching everyone that he can. Same person that was doing it 30 years ago continues to do it today. And that's because of the radical love and the radical God that we serve. Now in all of these things, as we share the gospel and see the goodness of God, we see in this parable that there was rejoicing when the lost were found. In Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and 7, and when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who needs no repentance. There's great rejoicing in heaven when somebody returns back to God. That is something that we can understand. That's what evangelism is all about. Jesus loves the lost and rejoices when they are found. And with that parable, it reminded me of another story. And it's the last story I'm going to share. About a young boy that dreamed about having a toy sailboat. And then this is one of those special sailboats that he had to assemble himself. So he had saved up money for this. He bought it in the toy store and took special care in building the sailboat of his. Ginawa niya, maingat na maingat. And finally, he had an opportunity. He had built it. It was a beautiful thing. And he went over to sa isang ilog and put it down to see it work. And when he laid it down, he was amazed playing with it. But a strong gust of wind brought the sailboat somewhere that was out of reach. He tried every effort to be able to reach it and get it and hinabol niya, but the wind was so strong, nawala na, hindi niya mahanap. And so he was there disappointed and sad after, you know, all the effort that he's made. He goes home and he prays, Lord, please somehow let me get that back. That is so valuable to me. And so for days he wasn't seeing it. It wasn't happening. But one day as he was walking through a secondhand store, nakita niya yung sailboat niya right at the window. And so he's so excited. He even saw his name that was etched on the toy. And he goes to the owner and retells the whole story. I built that. And I took care of it. And it's locked. Can I have it back? And the owner said, sorry, it's mine. If you want it, you can buy it. But you don't understand, that's mine. It has my name. Yeah, I understand. It's your name. But when you lost it, somebody picked it up and sold it to me. And I can't lose money on this. So, magkano ang kailangan bayaran? And the guy gave a certain amount. So he goes back home, breaks his piggy bank, finds the money that's there, and that just so happens, it's the exact amount that he wanted or that he needed to be able to buy it. So he goes back to the store, buys it back from the secondhand store and hugged his toy. And on his way back, as he was walking back home, He was looking at it and he said to the toy, "First I made you, then I bought you." That's what the little boy said. And many times, when we look at that, that's exactly what Jesus is telling you right now. Jesus said, or can say to all of us, "I made you, and now I bought you." Not from the price of the that the owner or the secondhand the store owner gave, but Jesus paid the price of his life for you and for me, and we have been bought by that price so that we can be with him again. And he's hugging us back home, hugging us, putting us on his shoulder, because sinasabi niya, "You were lost, but now you're found." We can respond to him today. Respond to the goodness of his life, the goodness that he wants us to be able to experience. It's the same message 30 years ago. It's the same message 2,000 years ago, that God loves us and wants us back to be with him. With heads bowed down, eyes closed, I want to make a challenge for everyone. I want to make a challenge for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We've been talking about the gospel and the evangelism. I don't want to miss out this opportunity for you to respond as well. For you to understand that God loves you so much that he was willing to lay aside all the others so that he could find you. That he wants you to be back reunited with him. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 5, still keep your heads bowed down, eyes closed. "This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ." And Jesus is calling you right now. "Come back to me. I've already paid the price. We can be together for eternity." You may have been here for a long time. If you've never responded to Jesus Christ as your Lord, or you're making a decision right now to do that, I want you to stand up in your seat. Make that bold move of standing up in your seat and saying, "I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." He was bold enough to die for you on the cross. You can be bold enough to stand up in your seat with heads bowed down. I'm not here to embarrass you, but you can stand up. Okay, let's all stand up. For the rest of us, my prayer for you is that God will use you. If God made an effort to reach us, God wants us to be able to reach others as well. And if you're already thinking of people that you want to be able to reach, people that you want to be able to share the gospel with, but somehow there's something that's hindering you, something nahihiya ka, hindi mo alam kung ano yung sasabihin mo, I'm going to pray for you today. I want you to lift up your hands and we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, you see these hands. I pray, Lord, that you will guide us. You will give us the strength. You will fill us with your Spirit, so that we can boldly go and reach out to those who are lost. I pray, Lord, that you will use our gifts, you will use our talents, you will use every part of us, even our finances, to be able to reach lost people. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and faithfulness in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that people who don't know you will come into the knowledge of you using these hands, using these men and women that are boldly saying, "Lord, use me." I thank you, Lord, for these men and women that will reach out and find lost people because they are important to you. And if they're important to you, it's important to us. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for every opportunity that we can share your goodness, share our testimony. Lord, we're grateful for what you're doing in and through these men and women. Lord, continue to bless us. Continue to use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more messages like these from other Victory Centers, please visit victory.org.ph/resources/podcasts.